for this morning. But in Luke chapter 19, and beginning in verse 37. Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse 37, it says, "Then speaking of Jesus, now as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' But he answered and said to them, 'I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out.'" Father, I do pray for our time here this morning. I pray, Lord, as we look at the topic of praise, Father, that you would tune our hearts to yours, that you would cause us to do so, to praise you, to worship you. And it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, praise the Lord is my topic this morning. And really, in view of Thanksgiving Day, I thought it a good topic. I will just quickly tell you that beginning next week, I'm going to start about a 10-week topical series on apostasy. How it happens. With what we're seeing in the world right now taking place, even in the church, and so many people departing from the faith, I thought it a good topic, especially in light of what we see going on in Israel and the potential that we could actually be seeing prophecy being fulfilled. 2 Thessalonians talks about this great falling away from the faith that is going to happen. So anyway, beginning next week, about a 10-week series on apostasy, just so that we don't become one of the casualties. But anyway, that said, I do have a topic here today concerning praise. Just looking forward to our week of Thanksgiving. But the word praise simply means the offering of grateful adoration in words or song as an act of worship. Now that's obviously a biblical definition, okay? But it's the offering of grateful adoration in words or song as an act of worship. And my topic presents an opportunity, I think, to adjust our thinking about God if need be. And here's why I say what I say. I was once asked, why does God command us to praise, magnify, and worship him? That command, by the way, appears in one form or another, literally hundreds of times in Scripture. Why does God command us to praise, magnify, and worship him? I mean, if I did something nice for you and then demanded that you thank me for it and praise me and even maybe worship me, isn't that rather arrogant? Isn't that prideful? In fact, that's exactly what the devil wants, by the way. The devil would want nothing more than to be worshiped like God. So why? Why does God command us to praise, magnify, and worship him? Well, before I answer that question, we need a little bit of a reality check. All right. You and I need our thought process adjusted just a little bit, perhaps. Have you ever had a reality check? Okay, a reality check is when we learn a truth about something in an abrupt and sometimes hard or painful way. About 15 years ago now was the last time I ever played volleyball. That's funny. It is. And the reason it was the last time is because it had been 10 years prior since I played it up until that point. And I have to tell you, even as a short guy, I was pretty good at volleyball. I had a really good vertical jump. I could spike it. I was fast. And it had been 10 years since I'd played. We were up at leadership camp, up at our Bible camp up at Cedar Mountain. And the counselors challenged all of the pastors to a game of volleyball. And I'm like, yeah, all right, this is going to be great. It had been 10 years since I played. Well, I have to tell you, I was doing all of the same things. In my mind, I had finesse. It was beautiful, but had entirely different results. All right. What I imagined, what I remembered being able to do, I could not do it anymore. It was a reality check. It was a reality check. All right. On that same note, I tried to grow a beard once, and I talked myself into the fact that, you know, that really looks pretty good. And then it was someone here at church that said, when are you going to shave that? It was a reality check. A reality check, all right? So why does God command us to praise, magnify, and worship Him? Well, before, again, I answer that question, we need a little bit of a reality check concerning God. And here it is. Here is the truth of the matter. I'm going to be like, and I'll just tell you, it was a woman that came up to me and said, yeah, you need to shave that, all right? I'm going to be like her for us today. Can we, you and I, agree that God is different than us? Yeah, okay. In a lot of ways, if you were to think of a major, major way that God is different from us, there might be a bunch of things that come to mind, but the first one that comes to my mind is the fact that God is self-existent. He is self-existent. In fact, Exodus 3:14, God tells Moses, I am that I am. That's who I am. I am that I am. God is self-existent. And here's the reality check. Brace yourselves. God doesn't need you. God doesn't need you. He was perfectly fine being in eternal fellowship with the Son and the Spirit. God does not need you or me. He does not need our existence. He does not need our acknowledgement. He does not need our respect. He does not need our life. He does not need our skills. He does not need our gifts. He does not need our talents. He does not need our faith. He does not need our love. He does not need our worship. He does not need our praise. He does not need you or me at all. Feeling pretty special, aren't you? Yeah, that hurts. That hurts. But it's the truth. It is the truth. That's quite a blow to our self-esteem, though. But here is the truth. While God does not need you or me, we need Him. We need Him. He made us. He loves us. He wants us. And He actually wants to exalt us. He wants to use us in the lives of others so that they can know who made love and values, or that He made, loves, and values them too. All right. And if that is not praiseworthy, nothing is. Nothing is. God commands praise. First of all, because He is the only one worthy of it. But also, it's actually, get this, it's actually for our benefit. It's a blessing to us to actually be able to speak to and be with and worship the self-existent God of the universe. In Luke 19, the passage we just read here, we're just going to use this as kind of a jumping off place this morning. But in Luke 19, 37 through 40, as Jesus is entering Jerusalem as Messiah, as Emmanuel, God with us, the King of Israel, the Savior of the world, He presents the Pharisees with a reality check. All right? As He was drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees called to Him from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But He answered and said to them, "If I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. And if the rocks would praise God, you and I, we should praise God. God does not need our praise. Creation, you and I, we need to praise God because it's actually for our own good. And today I want to explain three reasons why. It's nothing but beneficial to us. It's actually a blessing to us to praise and worship God. How? Well, the first way is praise magnifies our God. Praise magnifies our God. Now, that word magnify is not used in Luke 19, but it's exactly what they're doing here. Earlier in Luke chapter 1, Mary, the mother of Jesus, says that her soul magnifies the Lord. Job speaks, in the Old Testament, speaks of magnifying the Lord. Several Psalms speak of magnifying the Lord. God Himself says in Ezekiel 38:23, "Thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself. And I will be known in the eyes of many nations. Then they shall know that I am the Lord." And that right there, it's the purpose for praise. It magnifies, or a purpose for praise, it magnifies our God. So what does it mean to magnify? If we had a magnifying glass here and we were looking at something, holding it up to something, what is it actually doing? It's not making it bigger. Okay? It's not even making it appear bigger. It's actually making it easier to see. And that's exactly what magnifying the Lord does. It makes Him easier for us and even those around us to see Him. When something is magnified, it makes it easier to see. It brings it into focus and clarity. Again, it's not about making Him bigger. It's not about making Him appear bigger. It's about making who He really is easier to see. And praising Him does that. You see, magnifying God, it actually articulates who He is. We're able, as we give Him praise for specific things in our life, every praise we give Him calls back to something about His character. What we're able to see as we praise God is His character more clearly. as we magnify God, we're able to see His work in our life more clearly. Thank you, God, for your power in this situation. Thank you for your wisdom in this situation. Thank you for your grace and mercy in this situation. You see, as we praise the Lord, it actually articulates who He is. In fact, one of the songs we sang here this morning was all about these characteristics, the very nature of God. And that comes out as we praise Him. Psalm 48:1 says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in His holy mountain." Psalm 96:4, "For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods." Psalm 104:1, "Blessed is the Lord, bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty." Magnifying God articulates who He is. It makes Him easier for us to see His character. Magnifying God also advertises who He is. As we praise and magnify the Lord for what He is doing in our life, it actually advertises, it proclaims to others who He is. His greatness, His goodness, His mercy, His grace, His power, His wisdom. In fact, one of the biblical meanings of the word magnify is to declare. To declare in a way that advertises something and makes it clearer and easier for others to see. As we praise God for who He is, we ourselves and those around us will be able to see Him and know Him more clearly. There are a lot of false ideas in the world about God. Ideas that He doesn't even exist, or false ideas about who He is and how He works. And it is beneficial for both the world and us as we praise, speak the truth, okay, about the true and living God. Praise Him for His self-existence. Praise Him for His unity, His unchanging character, His immensity, His might, His wisdom, His sovereignty, His holiness, His grace. 1 Chronicles 16:24 says, "Declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among all peoples." And here's a message for us in the New Testament, 1 Peter 2:9, talking to those of us who have placed our faith in Christ, who have tasted the gift of salvation, who have the Holy Spirit working in our lives. He says there, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people." Why? "That you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Praise magnifies our God. And if the rocks would, we should. Secondly, praise matures our faith. Praise matures our faith. The very first time I ever taught a Bible lesson, I was nervous. I did not sleep the night before. I didn't eat for hours before. I'm sure my blood pressure was through the roof. I was sweating. My voice was quivering. I lost my place in my notes. And I felt like I had done a poor job. But God even used that. And not only did several people comment on the fact that they thought it went well. But my pastor at the time commented and said that it went well. And I thought to myself, well, one thing is for sure. It wasn't me. It wasn't me, because I know I did bad. But God used it. He used it. And as a result of that, I taught again. Okay? Because I trusted in Him the first time, I was more likely to trust in Him a second time. Because I could trust in Him with my past. I could trust in Him with my present and my future. I don't know if any of you have something coming up that you are nervous about. All right. As you think about that thing, and perhaps you are nervous about it, you're worried about it, whether it's something that you're doing directly involving God's word or not, okay? As you're wanting to be that living testimony of God in whatever it is you're doing, you're nervous. I want you to ask yourself, has God ever let you down before? Never. He hasn't. He hasn't. Well, that is the reason to trust Him all the more right now. Praise God. In fact, praising God matures our faith because it appreciates what God has done in the past. I think sometimes we don't quite see the great value. And there is great value, but we don't see the great value in counting our blessings. But it's there. When we think about, when we start actually listing out in our mind all of the things, all of the ways that God has worked in our past, as we appreciate what God has done in our past, it helps us in the present. I think sometimes we're thankful simply because we think we're supposed to be thankful. And we are. But the greatest benefit in appreciating what God has done in the past is to mature our faith in the present. If you were to guess, and I'm going to have you shout out on this one, all right? If you were to guess how many times in Scripture God reminds Israel of their deliverance from Egyptian slavery, what would your guess? How many times? Take a shot. I heard a lot. That doesn't count. All right. Somebody raise your hand. Give me a number. Throw out a number. 50, Elmo, Tommy? 142, Mitch? 1,000. 1,000? All right. Here's the number, and I actually did. I went through and counted. And I'm talking about actually going through an account, reminding them of the account of their exodus from Egyptian slavery. 72. 72 times in the Old Testament. But those of you that had higher numbers, there are probably references to it a lot more than that. But I'm talking about actually going through and saying, do you remember when you were in Egypt and the plagues came and I rescued them and I sent the angel of death and you had the lamb's blood and then I parted the Red Sea for you? 72 times in the Old Testament, God reminds Israel of His faithfulness in the past so that they would be faithful now. 7 times in the New Testament even. And of course, the main reason for recounting this blessing from the past is to give God's children, you and I, confidence, faith, in the present, through whatever it is we're going through. If I took care of you then, God says, I'll take care of you now. Praise matures our faith in God, and it appreciates what God has done in the past, and it affirms what God can do in the present. If God could do that back then, He can do this now. He can save me from my sin. He can do whatever it is I need Him to do in my life. He can do it right now. In fact, Jeremiah 32, 17. I think that's a verse I've got up there for you. Jeremiah 32, 17 says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you." I don't know what it is in your life that you might be nervous about or fearful about or worried about, anxious about. There's nothing too hard for God. It's okay to be nervous about tasks that God gives us, because that can actually, I think, oftentimes cause us to rely on Him all the more. But the more we rely on Him, the more we learn to rely on Him. It matures our faith. Any of you guys ever seen the old Disney movie, The Absent-Minded Professor? All right. Do you remember the product that he made? Who said it? Flubber. Flubber, right? Flubber. And there was something special about Flubber. This Flubber, when you bounced it, its momentum didn't decrease, it increased. It went faster and faster and faster. Well, here's a term for you. Flubber faith. The more you rely on God, it actually gains momentum and power. It grows. Flubber faith. Can I copyright that? I dare say, and I pray that this is true for you, okay? But I dare say that I pray for God's help more now than I used to. And I think that comes with maturity, however fast or slow we might be maturing. I think that is a kind of I won't call it a checklist item, but an indicator that we are maturing is we seek God's help more because we trust Him more. Think back and appreciate and praise God for some of those things that He's done in the past. This would be a great week for that, but use it as a springboard, flubber, to launch you into that greater faith. Count your blessings this week. Count your blessings this week, because as we appreciate what God's done in the past, it affirms what God can do in the present and the future. Colossians 2, 6 and 7 says, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." 2 Timothy 1:12 says, Paul says, For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I've believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep what I've committed to Him until that day. That's 2 Timothy 1:12. And then, of course, Luke 19:37 again. "Then as He was drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen." If the rocks would, we should. Lastly, and in closing this morning, praise manifests our love. Praise manifests our love. 1 John 4:19, I think I got the one there. All right. "We love Him because He first loved us." We love Him because He first loved us. While God does not need us, while He does not need our love, He does want it. He wants us. He desperately wants us. He does want us to love Him in return. And that is reasonable. Well, praising God is a way that we can manifest our love for Him. You see, we tend to talk the most about those people that we love the most, don't we? Janine and I were visiting with Alicia a little over a week ago, and she was telling us about her grandson. In fact, the conversation turned to her grandson on numerous points, okay? And that showed me that she loves her grandson, okay? We talk about most those things that we love most. Well, that begs the question, how often do we talk about God? And by the way, there was only one person that Alicia talked about more than her grandson, and that was God. In Deuteronomy, I don't have this verse for you, but Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 7 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." And then it continues, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." Talk about God a lot, all the time. Because we talk most about those we love the most. And praise. Praising God manifests our love for Him. So in praising God, those around us, really, because we're verbally doing it, we're saying it out loud, we can do it privately too. But as we praise God and we talk with other people about God, they will come to know that we love Him. They will know that we love Him. Your neighbors will know that you love God as you talk about Him and praise Him for who He is and what He's done in your life. It manifests our love. It adores who He is. Adore means to love intensely. And we should intensely love the fact that God is loving to us, that He is self-existent. He doesn't need anything. That He is unified. That He is unchanging. We can always count on Him. That He is immense. He's strong and big and He's bigger than any problem we have. He's mighty. He's wise. He's sovereign. He's holy. And for us, and this is one I think we should praise the Lord for a lot, He's gracious. He is gracious. As we praise Him, it manifests our love. It adores who He is, and it approves what He does. Even though everything God does, or maybe better put, allows to happen in our life is not pleasurable, it can always be profitable. We should praise God in everything. Praise Him in everything. And I want to make a quick distinction here. That doesn't mean praise God for everything, okay? We shouldn't praise Him for sin. That's not His fault. But we should praise God in everything. In fact, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." And if the rocks would, we should. God doesn't need our praise. Creation, you and I, we need to praise God because it is actually for our own good. And today we've seen these three quick reasons why. I pray that we carry them into this next week and on beyond that. Put it in practice. Let me close with just a few passages of scripture here and I'm done. Psalm 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Romans 1:20 says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead." Job 12:7-9. "But now ask the beasts, and they will teach you, and the birds of the air, and they will tell you, or speak to the earth, and it will teach you, and the fish of the sea will explain to you. Who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this?" Psalm 96:11-13. "Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea roar and all its fullness, let the field be joyful and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord." Isaiah 43:20. "The beasts of the field will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." And then back to where we began. Luke 19, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But he answered and said to them, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." Praise the Lord, for if all creation would, we should. Father in heaven, thank you for your word to us and teaching us so much about who you are. And Father, as we have learned some things today, I pray that we would take what we've learned and exercise it. Exercise the fact that our praise of you magnifies you. It makes you clearer to see for us and those around you. We thank you, Lord God, we're praising you for the magnification that praise brings you, Lord. We're praising you for the fact that our faith can be matured through it, and we are praising you this morning for the fact that it manifests our love to you. And Lord, we give that over to you and pray that you would use those things in our life for your glory and our benefit. And it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
If you can go ahead and stand, we're going to be dismissed.